What are the sports records you think will never be broken? Dan Shaughnessy and I debate some of sports' seemingly unbreakable records. It's Thursday, November 23rd, Thanksgiving. I'm Chris Gasper, and this is Season Ticket. Welcome to Season Ticket, a daily podcast from the Boston Globe Sports Department and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you out there. Today, we have a little bit of a different show for you. We're going to talk about records in sports that we think are unbreakable, records that will never be broken and will stand the test of time. Helping me do this today, we now bring in Boston Globe sports columnist Dan Shaughnessy. Dan, welcome to Season Ticket.
It's great to be here, Chris. All those years we spent Thanksgiving prowling the sidelines at Lynn Classical High School in Newton North, and here we are doing our podcast here in the studios. It's nice to be here.
Podcast and pies. That just tells you what
Love Thanksgiving is about right now
in 2017. I'm really excited to do this with you because of your sports knowledge and intellectual curiosity. So here's how we're going to do this. Each of us, I think, have a top five. We're going to go through and give our top five. You give your first one. I'll give my first one. And we'll just sort of go from there. So you tell me, what is your most unbreakable record in sports?
Well, this is an interesting topic to me because there's, to me, things that just cannot happen again by virtue of the way things have evolved. So I'm going to say winning 511 games as a major league pitcher. Cy Young did that. That's why it's a Cy Young Award. That's just not going to happen again. People don't pitch for 140 years. They don't win 20 games in a season. They used to win 30 games in a season. The opportunity is just not there, and the longevity is not there. It will not happen again. 511 wins.
Yeah, so that's number two on my list. And I totally agree with
you. What's ahead of that?
Well, I'll get to that in a second. A little bit of patience.
Yeah, yeah.
That's number two on my list. I think that's a great choice, though, for number one. And especially in today's baseball culture, I mean, you cover the World Series. You see it. They're pulling starters after the fourth inning, guys that are doing well. Even in the 2016 World Series, Joe Maddon, the Chicago Cubs, you know, ends up pulling Kyle Hendricks because he's pitching really well, but it's like, I have to get to John Lester out of the bullpen. So just baseball culture has evolved. It's become so specialized. Our good friend Bob Ryan would say it's the Tony La Russa-ization of baseball.
Yes.
You're right. You're never going to see that again. And there's only one other pitcher who even topped 400 wins. That's Walter Big Train Johnson, and he last pitched in 1927. So that's a great choice. Here's my number one. It's also in baseball. Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hit streak in 1941. I don't think anybody is ever going to break this. You look at baseball now with launch angle, and guys don't really care if they strike out. It's either a strikeout, a walk, or a home run. The sabermetricians tell us those are the three true outcomes in baseball.
Yes.
I don't think you're ever going to see anybody hit in 56 consecutive games. Pete Rose, in the modern era, is the guy who's come the closest, 44 straight in 1978.
I am going to disagree strongly with this because it is always possible. Every season we go into, a guy is capable of doing this. It's very hard to do. It's a little bit of a lightning in a bottle thing. But mechanically and statistically, it is possible for a guy to keep doing it. Now, it's harder now with the media demands, the travel, the great relievers that come in.
The defense. The defense of baseball is way better than when DiMaggio played.
I'm telling you, you're going to see more of an approximation of this record than a lot of other ones. And the fact that Rose, that was like 40 years ago, he got to 44. We see guys get into 30s every year. Yeah, someone's going to do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be broken. I don't. But I do hear what you're saying, though. I just think the defense is so good. Like, you know, can you imagine if DiMaggio had Jackie Bradley Jr. leaping over the Red Sox bullpen to take away hits?
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, that's just not going to happen. So I told you my number two was Cy Young, which was your number one. What's your number two?
Well, the NHL is, you know, not my wheelhouse in this kind of thing. But Wayne Gretzky's scoring numbers, I just think, even in a pinball era, whatever happens, it's just not going to happen. The career points for Wayne Gretzky is 2,857. Do you realize, Chris Gasper, if he had never scored a goal, he would still be the leading scorer in NHL history?
I didn't know that. That's
amazing.
I mean,
it's a ridiculous record. He's so far, Jagr's second now, and he's like 1,000 points behind. So Gretzky, just by virtue of all of his assists, has more points than anyone ever in the history of hockey.
I think Wayne Gretzky's greatest accomplishment is getting you to talk hockey during this
podcast.
Well,
it's true.
He was so good that you had to reference hockey.
Proud.
I agree with you. So that's your number two. That is my number four. And I also want to throw in there that Wayne Gretzky holds the NHL single season record for points with 215 set in 1985-86. Gretzky registered four 200-point seasons. He's the only NHL player to ever breach that barrier. And remarkably, Dan, this is unbelievable how great the great one was. He had three straight 200-point seasons from 1983-84 to 85-86. So I don't think that single season record will ever be broken of 215 points. You're just not going to see that, particularly in today's clutch and grab NHL with too many teams. So that's my number four. I told you my number two is Cy Young. So I want to go into my number three.
Yeah.
My number three is Wilt Chamberlain's NBA record, 100 points in a game. Did it March 2nd, 1962. He was playing for the then Philadelphia Warriors against the New York Knicks in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Final score of that game, 169 to 147. I'm sure Brad Stevens, if he had been on the sideline, would have been pulling out his hair at a 169 to 147 game. Wilt distilled in this game, attempted 63 shots. He hit 36 of them, but just attempting 63 shots. I mean, not even Carmelo Anthony, your boy, would attempt 63 shots in a game.
Sure. Well, I understand what you're getting at here. It's hard to do, but I'm not going to sign on to this one because we saw Kobe get 80 when he was 100 years old just a couple years ago. And sometimes they do these contrived things at the end of the season where they get the ball to one guy. You could make this happen. If LeBron, if they said, LeBron, season's over, let's get you 100 today. I think they could do that. They
you
could
do?
Make it happen, yes.
No way.
It would have to be a
There's
contrived
no event.
It would not come organically, but this is a possible
It's hard
outcome.
To score 100 points shooting against air, Dan. Like, Marcus Smart shooting against air could not score 100 points in an NBA game.
LeVar Ball's son did it in high school. That's all I know.
Yeah, DeJuan Wagner did in high school, too. And then he was terrible in the NBA. There's, you know, I'm not going to say there's lots of guys who've done it in high school, but it's a different level. And I think, look, Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns scored 70 last season against the Celtics, right?
In the flow.
But it's like, how much at the end were the Celtics trying to prevent him from scoring? I think if anybody got even close to this, it would be like old school NBA like you covered in the 80s. Bill Laimbeer, they'd be clotheslining people to make sure they didn't have 100 points scored on
them. You got to be able to make your free throws. You want 100.
Well, that's the great thing about that game. Wilt, a terrible career free throw shooter, about 51%. He made 28 of 32 free throws in that game. So that's my number three.
It's pretty good. Okay. I'm going to give you okay on that.
Okay.
My next one is going to be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with his career points.
I like this one.
To me, again, longevity. Players just don't stick around as long. Now, they do start younger, and they get more miles on their wheels at an early age. But the notion of somebody scoring, what is the number here? 33,643 points. I mean, it's like he's an underrated player in history no matter what. And I just think that Kareem, the longevity he had, the fact that he was a 20, 25-point-per-game guy the whole time, no one's going to get there.
So I think that record is actually 38,387 points.
It's right.
So yeah, you shorted him
5,000 ahead of Kobe.
Yeah, and this is a great one, Dan, and it just missed my top five. I have it as number six, and I basically bumped it for one of yours that I thought was great, which was Wayne Gretzky. I bumped it down, and I'll get to what my number five was, and then we'll give you guys a quick recap of what we had one through five. This is a great one. It really is. Kobe Bryant, to your point, came straight out of high school at age 17. He played 20 seasons. He finished with 33,643 points. He's still 4,744 points behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. This record is really, really difficult to break. But I'm intrigued that you basically are saying someone can score 100 points in a game, but they won't break this record. And I'll tell you why. This record is a great record. It's hard to beat, but it's a longevity record. If somebody were to play long enough, they could get this record.
Yes, they could, but no one will. I'm going to stick with my theory on this one. Nope, you're wrong. I'm right.
Okay, I think that if somebody coming out of high school, right, because they're going to go back, I think they're going to eliminate the one-and-done rule, and if someone comes out of high school and plays a really, really long time, look, Karl Malone got pretty close, didn't he? He got pretty close. This is a great choice. I agree, but I just find it funny that you think this one's unbreakable, but the 100 points is doable.
All right, well, give me the next do-over, and I'll give you a better one.
Okay, all right.
You ready?
So, yep, I'm ready.
All right. Two things that I have seen which will never be broken.
Yes.
There was a game in Pompano, Florida, a spring training game, where the catcher for the Orioles, Dave Cresciano, caught three foul pop-ups in one inning. That will never be broken.
I love it.
It is de facto impossible to break. And the Baltimore Orioles left-handed pitcher, Tippy Martinez, once picked off three runners against the Toronto Blue Jays in one inning. That will never be broken. You won't even see it equaled. It'll never be broken. So there.
That's fantastic. You can't beat that. All right, so I'm going to go with my fifth choice here. And we've had a lot of the same choices, so let me just recap what mine are up to this point. So number one for me is Joe DiMaggio. You disagree. Number two, Cy Young, which was your number one. I think we both think that's great. Number three, Wilt Chamberlain in his 100-point game. Number four, Wayne Gretzky and his record for career points. And I'm also going to throw in the single season there of 215. My number five, Cal Ripken Jr. playing in the 2,632 straight games. That's a streak that stretched over 17 seasons. He obviously broke Lou Gehrig's record. I just think in today's baseball with guys like, again, Joe Maddon, like you think Joe Madden's going to let somebody play in 2,632 straight games?
It's very unlikely. But again, we thought Lou Gehrig, that was not a record that could ever be broken. And
good
then
point.
We saw it happen. So I'm going to say, yeah, it's you're pretty safe on that one. But I think it's theoretically possible.
All right. So give me your number five.
I think I've given you all the ones I have in my well. I'll give you one more thing that cannot be broken.
Okay.
And that is the television rating of the Larry Bird Magic Johnson game in 1979. It was the highest rated TV college game in history. It will always be because there's so many options now on cable TV that you cannot break that record. Magic and Larry, 79, Final Four.
And can you just give a quick recap of your top five?
I don't know if I can remember them all, but I know that that one, of course, was Cy Young with 5-11, and two was Wayne Gretzky having take away all of his goals. He's still the greatest scorer of all time. That was two. I know I was in there for Kareem's career total. I know I was in there with Tippy Martinez with three pickoffs, and I know I was in there with Larry Bird and Magic with a TV rating. I may have forgotten one, but that's an approximation of my top five.
All right, so we're going to take a brief time out here on Season Ticket, and when we come back, we're going to continue this discussion. I'm going to throw a few more records at Dan, and he's going to tell me how wrong I am in terms of whether they can be broken or not be broken. So
easy
stay
to
tuned
do.
For that. Welcome back. If you like Season Ticket, be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, subscribing is the best way to make sure you get our latest episode as soon as it's available. I'm back now with Dan Shaughnessy. We're talking about sports records we believe will never be broken or can be broken. We gave you our top fives in terms of records that will never be broken. We did have some disagreement there, which is always good. Now, Dan, I want to run down a few other ones that I was considering. I'm sure you looked at them, too. And I want you to give me a thumbs up or thumbs down in terms of unbreakable, not unbreakable. Jack Nicklaus, he won 18 majors during his career. This one, breakable?
Totally breakable. I mean, Tiger was on his way, and all those things happened. The fire hydrant right around this time of year. It was Thanksgiving, as a matter of fact. But Tiger was on his way to do that. There will be another guy. The hard part now is with all these young guys, like Day and Spieth and Fowler, they're all almost equally good. No one has established a dominance in the sport. That's going to make it tough. But we never know when the next Tiger's going to come along. It can happen.
Yeah, I definitely thought Tiger was going to break this one. He's not going to do it now. I tend to agree with you. You know, if another Tiger Woods comes along, this one could be in jeopardy. I think the more amazing thing is that Jack Nicklaus finished second in majors 19 times.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good number right
there. Yeah, right?
I figure so, like almost 40 times he's in danger of winning a major.
Yeah, I mean, that just speaks to his greatness. Here's another one. This is from college football. Oklahoma's 47-game winning streak. Bud Wilkinson's Sooners won 47 straight Division I college football games between 1953 and 1957. Breakable or not?
Absolutely breakable. You got these corrupt programs. they got a chance to just run the table. Nick Saban, every year, he can go undefeated. So what's to stop him from stringing together five or six of those? Yeah, I think given the cesspool of NCAA college football, it's always possible.
So I'm going to disagree because the closest any Power 5 program has come since then is Miami's run of 34 straight from 2000 to 2002. And the reason is, back when this was set, it was like there were no scholarship limits. You know, guys like Bud Wilkinson, and then in the 60s and 70s, Bear Bryant, if there were players they didn't want to play against, they just offer them a scholarship and hide them on their team.
Sure.
Now there's a lot more parity in college football. And also, you have these championship games, like the SEC championship game. You have the college football playoffs. So you just have to win a lot more games.
Yeah.
They're just playing more games per season to get to the national title. I think this one's going to be very difficult to break. So I'll say that one won't be broken.
All right, you can have that.
Here's another one for you. UCLA men's basketball, that 88-game winning streak. Your buddy Bill Walton on that team. They did it from 1971 to 1974. When you look at this one, breakable or not?
Well, are we talking men's basketball or are we talking Geno and the girls down at UConn?
We're talking men's. I'll get to Geno and the women.
Thank you. Okay, well, if we're staying with the men, this is difficult. And that is, in my view, the greatest college team of all time. Bill Walton is the greatest college player of all time. Digger Phelps eventually got them. It happens. I'm going to say it is theoretically beatable, but it's tough to do.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, and I'll tell you why. Just because I think you're absolutely right. Theoretically, it's totally possible. But in today's college basketball, to win from 1971 to 1974, that would take 60 different players
yeah.
just with the one and done thing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to have the same team. Yeah. So with one and done, you're switching teams every year. I think that's really, really difficult to do. You mentioned the UConn women. They won 111 straight games from 2014 to 2017, which is just remarkable. And I am in no way subtracting from or detracting from that accomplishment. But I think the women's game is different in this regard. They don't have the one and done factor. You know, Geno got to keep some of those players, and you get to have some sort of continuity, which is really gone from the men's game.
Absolutely. I mean, as you referenced, John Calipari can go through, you know, 12 guys a year for 5 years, like you say, 60 guys to do the whole streak, hard to do. The Geno's got it going down there. And the great young high school basketball players in women's basketball tend to like to go to UConn. They want to go there.
Absolutely.
Would rather go there and join than compete against them. So I think that ever possible for them to win 100, 200. I'm so glad they lost last year in the semifinal.
It just made the
tournament better. And Mississippi State didn't even win the tournament.
No.
But that was a good night for women's basketball to have some competition, to see them have to play from behind and play hard. But most of the time, they're capable of running off 100 in a row.
Yeah, and you look at someone like Breonna Stewart, right, who was a big part of that streak. She won four straight national titles. And again, you know, how many times would a player who's that good, an elite player, one of the best players probably in the history of the women's game, staying 4 years? That just doesn't happen in the men's game nowadays. So I think that's sort of one of the differences there in terms of UCLA being able to be caught in UConn. Look, if anybody breaks UConn's record, we know who it's going to be, UConn. Here's another one for you. And this one is close to home. It's the one and only number four, Bobby Orr, great defenseman for the Boston Bruins. In the 1970-71 season, Dan, he was an incredible plus 124 in plus minus. And for those of you who don't know, plus minus is goal differential when a player is on the ice throughout the course of the season. So when Bobby Orr was on the ice for the 70-71 Bruins, the Bruins were plus 124 in goal differential. That is ridiculous. I don't think this will ever be broken.
Yeah, it's a good one, and it's not coincidental. I mean, those numbers are exactly what they sound like, which means they were better every time he was out there. And to the untrained eye who didn't know anything about hockey, we all saw Bobby Orr, his skating, his prowess on the both sides of the blue line. It was just amazing to watch. He will always be the greatest player ever. So I'm going to say numerically, I guess it's possible, but theoretically, this is not possible because there will not be another Bobby Orr.
Yeah, absolutely. And really, when you look at it, the best plus minus by any player since 1990, Vladimir Konstantinov of the 95-96 Detroit Red Wings.
Who could forget him?
He was a mere plus 60.
Wow.
That's it. Plus
okay.
He's not even halfway there, Dan.
Yeah. Okay.
He's not even halfway there. And the only other player to even break 100 and plus minus was the great Montreal Canadiens defenseman Larry Robinson. He did it in 1976-77. So, I mean, this is not something that's going to be broken.
You have done your homework, young Chris.
I have.
Casper.
Well, you know, I have to when I'm talking to you.
Sheesh.
I mean, you have institutional knowledge that I don't have.
Good
I need to go back. And I'm talking about things that I read about. You know, we're talking about things that you saw.
Yes.
So you know, that's a little different. How about this one? Jerry Rice. He scored 208 touchdowns during his career. Do you think that one can be broken?
I'm going to say we need football in this discussion.
Okay.
And we haven't had much football. And football, the quantitative, qualitative aspects of this are quite different. I'm going to say no.
Really?
No, too many. I
okay.
know it's
I'm
a
surprised.
Passing, it's a passing game now.
Yeah.
I just think guys get hurt, careers are short. I mean, a wideout's not like a running back where their careers are really short. It is. I'm just going to say there's too many. Not going to happen again.
So I agree with you. Although, you know, the way the game is now, the rules are so slanted towards offense. But you know what swayed me on this? The simple math. So if you played 20 years in the NFL and averaged 10 touchdowns a season, you still fall short.
Not happening.
You know, and that's really, really difficult. And I think the same goes, you know, I think the one record he has here that could be broken, that receiving yards record, it's 22,895. I know the next closest is Terrell Owens at 15,934. But the way they throw the ball around today, like, I think someone could get to the 22,000.
Can I ask you one more football
question?
Yes,
absolutely.
Okay, so Bill Belichick's at 271, third all-time in professional football, trailing only Don Shula, who Belichick hates, George Halas, Papa Bear of the Bears.
Yeah.
So it's like 70 away. It's 240, 347 to get to Shula.
Yeah.
So it's like 12 a year for like another 6 years for Bill to get there. Bill is 65 years old. Does he continue to coach, win that many games, and reach 347 to pass the man he hates?
I don't think so. I don't. And the reason I say that is because, you know, he has a great family set up now. He's coaching with his kids. He has a partner that he is very close with in Linda Holiday. And he always said something would have to change, right? Now, these guys are workaholics and something can change. But he always said, I don't want to be Marv Levy on the sidelines
right.
at like 75 years old. He's 65 now. You're talking another, you know, 7-8 seasons. Is Bill really down for that? And look, we all love Tom Brady.
He'll still be throwing then.
You think he'll be throwing in 8 years?
Yeah, 47 years old.
So he's the Nolan Ryan of the NFL.
30 for 37 against the Raiders, coached by Jack Del Rio, who would then be a 1-100 against the Patriots at that point.
I sense you really enjoyed the Patriots game on Sunday.
Just dreadful.
All right, here are a few more, Dan. We'll try and get through these quickly. Secretariat, 31-length victory in the Belmont Stakes in 1973.
We need young Joe Sullivan to be in here to answer that, because I don't know the horse racing the way he does. But I always it's a number we use all the time, Secretariat in Belmont. I'm going to say no. All the other horses would have to break their legs out of the gate for that to happen.
Yeah,
again.
I'm with you. No way. Yeah. That's never going to be broken. Pete Rose, the career hits record, 4,256.
It's hard to do, but I'm going to say it's beatable. I mean, Ichiro kind of did it over two countries, so yeah, it's possible.
I'm with you on that one. And this is the last one I have. If you have something else, let me know. We'll get to it. Ricky Henderson's career stolen base record, 1,406 in 25 seasons. Ricky was still being Ricky at age 44.
Yeah, it's hard to do because they don't, you know, it's a cyclical thing. They're not stealing bases again now. They were. Maury Will stole 103 in 1962, and then it kind of went away and it came back with Ricky. It could come back again, so I'm going to say it's doable.
I'm going to say no because I think these saber matricians really look down on the stolen base. And you're right about it being cyclical, but as long as there's these, you know, saber metrically inclined, analytically inclined general managers, I think they're really going to tamp. Like, how mad did people get at the Red Sox this year for making the 80-plus outs on the base pass?
Really mad.
I mean, it takes some daring to steal that many bases. I just don't think anybody will get – I'm not sure someone will get the opportunities. Like, just 1,406 stolen base attempts.
Yeah, it's a tall order. It's probably not going to happen, but I'm going to leave the window open for that.
Okay. Do you have any other ones you wanted us to get to here?
No, I think I have. I'm closing the books on this discussion for my own sake.
All right, I know there's probably something from tennis or track and field that we've left out that we will hear about. You can certainly let us know. I'm on Twitter at C Gasper, so let us know what we left out. Dan's on Twitter; he's at Dan_Shaughnessy. Dan, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for spending Thanksgiving with me, breaking down these unbreakable records, many of which you think are breakable.
Yeah, let's go get a drumstick now.
That sounds good to me. All right, that's it for this edition of Season Ticket. Be sure to tell a friend about us and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like us, please leave us a review. I'm Chris Gasper. Have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you tomorrow.